Welcome to Wealth Academy Podcast. Thanks for tuning in to listen to this dynamic and insightful podcast with host Paul Lawrence Vann. Paul and his guests provide content-rich information that will enhance your knowledge. Enjoy this episode.
Good day, everyone, and I hope that you are doing great. We're 1 week into the new year, and Wealth Academy Podcast is here to serve. And today we have just a tremendous guest, and you're going to learn so much about him. His name is Scott DeLuzio, and I want to welcome him at this time. And Scott, how are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing great, and thank you for having me.
All right, fantastic. And what I want to share today is about a very important topic. But before we get there, I want to give you some background on Scott so you can learn more about him. He's doing some great things, and I know you're going to really enjoy it. Scott is an Army veteran, having served 6 years with the Army National Guard, including a deployment to Afghanistan in 2010. Scott's brother, Stephen, was also deployed to Afghanistan in 2010. Unfortunately, Stephen was killed in action on August 22, 2010, and our condolence, of course. After returning home, Scott struggled with coping with the stresses of combat, the loss of his younger brother, and adjusting back to his civilian life. In the years following Scott's deployment, he noticed other veterans dealing with their struggles as well in his unhealthy ways. Scott started his podcast, Drive On Podcast, to connect with current and prior service members. He interviewed veterans and civilians to discuss personal triumphs, life experiences, in addition to emotional hardships, to give hope and strength to the military community. Scott lives in Surprise, beautiful Surprise, Arizona, with his wife, Vicky, and their three children. Well, all I can say, Scott, is God bless you all. And of course, I really, really enjoy taking care of my great veterans. And of course, I was a member of the National Guard as well for 10 years. So we have that connection taking place. So let's get started, Scott. I want you to share, if you will, just a bit about your upbringing. Where did you grow up? Where were you born? What were your dreams as a youth, in your youth?
Yeah, so I grew up in Connecticut. That's where I was born. My family's from there. A lot of family's still there. And as a kid, we had, you know, kind of a typical, you know, suburban, you know, middle class kind of upbringing. And, you know, we played sports, got in trouble, you know, out in the woods playing and doing all kinds of stuff that kids do. But one of the things that my parents and my family really instilled in me was a respect for the folks who put on a uniform to serve and protect us, whether that's police or firefighters, EMTs, military. All of those people were, to me, growing up, those were the Michael Jordan type people that I looked up to. I didn't know necessarily all of their names, but I saw them. I looked at them with that type of respect and, you know, appreciation for the type of things that they did. So that was kind of the way we were brought up, was to respect those folks. I remember we took a trip to Westover Air Force Base in Massachusetts, and we greeted some of the troops coming back home from Desert Storm. And that was, like, I still remember that, like, very vividly to this day. And that was years ago, you know. And it was just a, you know, incredible experience. But that, you know, that's kind of how we were brought up.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm right there with you. When I look at Army personnel, which my brother served in the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, support them all, our firefighters and our police officers, because I told a police officer, I told him, I said, you know, your job is tougher than the military at times. He said, why? I said, because you're in combat every day.
Yeah.
Every day. We have conflicts, but you are dealing with this every day. And it gives me the utmost respect, in addition to the firefighters.
Sure.
They're at risk now. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And let's talk about what inspired you to join the Army. Wonderful service. In fact, Scott, a lot of people don't notice, but I started out in ROTC with the Army.
Okay,
we're going to simulate a Claymore mine. And I said, well, won't you get hurt with that? He said, you might. And then after that semester was over, I just didn't go anymore.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, so I decided to join the Army. Honestly, growing up, it was something that, like, in the back of my head, I was like, you know, this might be a career path for me, maybe. But, you know, after high school, I ended up going to college. And then there was 9/11 happened while I was in college. And my younger brother, Stephen, who you mentioned, he was going to college, and he ended up going up to Vermont for college at Norwich University. And he met some folks up there who were in the Army National Guard. He got to know a little bit more about it, and he decided actually to join the Army Army National Guard up there in Vermont. Sure. And so all of a sudden, my younger brother, the little guy I used to, you know, pick on and, you know, tease and all that kind of stuff, roughhouse with when I was a kid, all of a sudden he was up on this pedestal of these superheroes, you know, the way I was brought up. And so now I'm looking at him with the utmost respect. And, you know, I'm looking at him like he's some superhero now. And, you know, after 9/11, I thought to myself, I'm just going to drop out of school and I'm going to join the military. Didn't end up doing that. I decided that I'm going to stick it out and finish my college degree, because I knew if I dropped out, I was not going to go back and pick up the pieces where I left off. So I decided to stick it out. Well, then after my brother joined, I started thinking about military a little bit more, and this was after college. And so I decided about a year after he joined, I decided to join. And it really was because I heard this report in the news that the military was struggling to meet their recruiting numbers. And this was only 2005. It was only, you know, 4 years or so after 9/11. And I'm like, where are all these people who were like, never forget 9/11, and, you know, we'll go and move mountains to, you know,
to find
who did it, right? Yeah. And I'm like, what happened to all these people? And then I realized I was one of those people, and I still haven't done anything about it. So I said, you know what? But let's get into it. And I'm young enough, I'm fit enough, I'm perfectly capable of serving. So why not me? And so I did. I enlisted about a year after my brother did, and you know, went to basic training and all that. And that's how I got into it.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But yeah, that's a very important point, because when you look at everything that was taking place, I know here in the Washington, D.C. area near the Pentagon, everybody was just really, as we say, gung-ho.
Yeah.
We got to find out. We'll never forget. But that dictates some action, and they didn't take it, but you took it.
That's right. Yeah.
And that makes all of the difference. So that's a wonderful way to serve. And of course, as you stated, your little brother, Stephen, he inspired you. Your younger brother, Stephen, inspired you to join, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My brother, he joined the Army too. I'm the oldest son, and I have four brothers. So my brother after me, he also joined the Army, served about 33 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Yes. So yeah. Scott, we know right now, as of 2023, the enlistment numbers, as you mentioned earlier, were down, even lower than it was back in 2004, 2005, in that time frame.
Yep.
We know the Army, Navy, and Air Force numbers are down by about 41,000. The only two branches that actually stayed at that same level was the Marine Corps. They went above their number, their enlistment goals, and then the Space Force, because it's so new and everyone wants to join, right?
That's right.
The new kid on the block, as we say. So when we look at this, our numbers are the lowest they've been since World War II. Could you please share a few reasons why the youth between 18 and 24 should at least give some consideration to joining the military? Because it's reaching that point where there's a military readiness issue that's coming down the pike.
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of understand some of the reasons why maybe they might be a little hesitant to join the military, you know, especially, you know, with ongoing conflicts and uncertainty and things like that. But, you know, reasons why I think people should join the military, regardless of what's going on in the world, it's a great way to give back and serve your country. Even if it's, you know, serving in the National Guard, you're serving in your local community. It's a great way to stay close to home if that's where you want to be. And when bad things happen in your community, you're the ones who get to go and help people in your community. So, you know, hurricanes or, you know, natural disasters or whatever, you guys are the ones who go out and help the people who need the help the most. Right. So it's just a great sense of pride and sense of, you know, service that comes from serving in the military. Not to say that active duty is any less significant. You know, I can talk from the National Guard perspective, but, you know, active duty certainly is, you know, a great way to serve as well. I think any branch of the military, including the Space Force and including the Coast Guard and, you know, all of them are, you know, a great way to serve your country and, you know, do the things that need to be done, you know, when bad things happen. And unfortunately, it's just a reality of life that bad things will happen. And we need good, strong young men and women to go out there and do the work that needs to be done. And so it's, I think it's a great thing to do, to serve your country. And you look back on it with a sense of pride. I know I do anyways.
Yes, me too. And most people, when they see me at a speaking event, they're thinking, oh, he's just going to talk about the military. I said, no, you know, I worked at a corporation too. I can talk corporate too.
That's right.
But when we're in the National Guard, like we were National Guard, we are the fabric of the community.
That's right. And one of the things I found was the best part about being in the National Guard is that you get people from a wide range of backgrounds. Yes. I mean, the unit I served in, we had lawyers, we had police officers, we had firefighters, we had EMTs, we had all sorts of people from all different walks of life coming in. So it wasn't just, you know, we're an infantry unit, but so it wasn't just a bunch of dumb grunts who were there. We had mechanics, we had people who came from all different walks of life.
Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You get all sorts of people, and it's really great to to come together that way and serve your community.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And because the thing I was thinking about was years from now, maybe 10 years, 20 years down the road, who's going to be defending the country?
Right? That's right.
So yeah. Technology can't do it alone.
No. I mean, it would be great if you can get if someone could figure out how to get AI to do it and we don't have to send any people off to do it. But, you know, at the same time, even if you did, you still need someone to push the buttons on the other end. So
absolutely. So, Scott, we're going to go back a little bit in time. We're going to talk about your amazing brother, the hero that he is. And I know, Stephen, I know he loves your family. He represented our country. You can't ask for any more than that. Let's talk a little bit about him. What type of person was Stephen? And again, do you know what inspired him to also serve in the Army? And by the way, I did speak at Norwich University myself. I've been there, St. Michael's in that area in Vermont. Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful area up there. Yeah. I've been up there several times, you know, to go visit him and all that kind of stuff. It's such a beautiful area.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Norwich is actually the oldest academy in the United States.
It is. It's where the ROTC got started.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep, that's right. So type of person he was. Oh, my gosh. He was a jokester. Like, he liked to get people to laugh. Even if it was... you know, at his own expense, like he would just get people going and he knew how to push your buttons. So if you're upset, he would almost make you more upset just to get you to laugh about it. Like to realize the absurdity of what it is that you're upset about. And he would, you know, get you all, you know, he'd pretend like he was grumpy, like you were or whatever. And, you know, so it was just, he had a way of doing these kind of things. And, you know, it wasn't just within our family. It was with his friends. It was with his Army, you know, colleagues, all of the, it was just his personality, just the type of guy he was. He really did light the room up when he walked in. Everyone knew it was going to be a better time because he was there. You know, it was fun to have him around. You know, and
a light, people follow the light.
Yeah. And they did, because I mean, his group of friends, they all had nothing but positive things to say about him. You know, they all were, you know, just so, so touched by his presence, you know, and it really was a strong presence that he had, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, you know, as far as him joining the Army up there. Like I said, he met some folks. He was in the Corps of Cadets up at Norwich. He started off school going to Hofstra down in Long Island,
right, New York.
And kind of got into some trouble, didn't have the best grades there. And he said he came home after, I think, the first semester, second semester, I forget when exactly that was, but he said, I need some discipline. And I want to, he said he wanted to join the military. And so he talked to my parents about it. And my parents were like, well, what if you went to a military school, like Norwich or whatever, and got the military experience without actually being in the military necessarily, because there was no commitment necessarily to join the military by being in the ROTC. I mean, a lot of folks did end up going that route, but you know, they said, you know, why jump right into it if you're not exactly sure if that's what you want? You know, why not test it out first? And so he did. He went there, and I don't even think we made it to Thanksgiving that first semester. And he was already talking about joining the military, and you know, so he met some folks, and they talked about it with him. I think he may have even gone to a drill or two with them just to kind of check it out, see what it was all about. And he found out that that's what he wanted to do. So he ended up joining the Vermont National Guard that summer. He went to basic training. And so basically he went all that first year at Norwich. And then he came home maybe for a week or so, week or two. And then he was off to basic training. He came back home again, maybe there was a week after that. And then he was back at Norwich and right back into it. So, you know, it was just, you know, what I think what he wanted to do to fix his life and make sure, not that he was, you know, broken or anything like that, but he knew he was not going on the right track. He wasn't doing as well as he should be. And he wanted that discipline, and he got it in the military.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's one. I love to hear stories about what inspired people to join, because we all have a different inspiration, but in the end, it always ends up in the same place.
Yeah.
Regardless of what service it is. So that's wonderful. And he made a difference in the country. He's still making a difference.
Yeah. And you know what? He actually, so he deployed to Iraq, let's see, probably shortly after getting out of basic training, maybe 6 months or so after getting out of basic training, he was already deployed to Iraq. And that was about the time that I was going to basic training. So that was like the first time that he and I were both in service together. We weren't serving obviously together. I was in Iraq, but when he got back from Iraq, he decided he didn't want to go back to Norwich. That experience really changed him. And he said he wanted to be closer to family, the folks that matter in life. He didn't want to be spending all of his time away at school in Vermont when most of his family was here and was back home in Connecticut, where he wouldn't get to see anybody or be around that. So he ended up moving back down to Connecticut. He went to the University of Hartford and finished up his degree and graduated with great grades. He really turned himself around, and that discipline that you get in the military really, really did numbers on him. He really changed things around. And it was all for the better. You know, he discovered what was really important in life. It wasn't the partying and the other things that maybe gotten him in trouble in the past. It wasn't, you know, going off to, you know, school someplace else. It was family. It was friends. It was the folks that really matter to you. And so he came back to Connecticut, finished off his degree here. And that's where that's where his family was. So that's where he wanted to be.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I definitely salute him, as well as other people who are viewing and listening to this. And we thank him for his service. And we know his service continues to make a difference. And so we're very thankful. So in this case, Scott, what has happened? Of course, we lost Stephen in August of 2010. Mm-hmm. And now you are a Gold Star brother, in addition to your entire family. Could you please share what it entails in terms of what being a Gold Star family is like, Gold Star Brother, and then how people may be able to help in this process, if they can make some donations or something of that nature.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, being a Gold Star family, I mean, it's a title that nobody wants, but you kind of have it forced upon you, unfortunately. Right. You know, but what a Gold Star family is really anybody who has lost a family member in service to their country. So, you know, in my case, I lost my brother, and so that makes me a Gold Star brother. My parents are Gold Star parents, and you know, and so on and so forth. But, you know, so as far as that goes, you know, every once in a while, a lot of states have these license plates and there's a Gold Star on them or some symbol that indicates there's a gold, this is a Gold Star family. Right. And I see them every once in a while from time to time driving around. And, you know, to me, like, I know what that is, but, honestly, before I became a Gold Star, brother, I wasn't really familiar with that phrase and what it actually meant. Sure. And so I look at those folks as, you know, they sacrifice too. You know, we always talk about how it's such a sacrifice for, you know, the service members who go and put the uniform on and they serve. But a lot of times we forget about the families, the wives, the children, the parents, the siblings, all those folks who, they sacrifice as well, you know, because even when nothing's, you know, that person isn't killed in action or whatever, they still are away a lot of times for holidays and birthdays and other celebrations. And that's a sacrifice that the family has to make, right? You know, you want to celebrate those things with the whole family, but unfortunately the whole family can't be there. But when the worst happens, like in our case, when my brother was killed, we not only are we sacrificing those special days, we're sacrificing every other day that he could have had on this earth. We don't get that anymore. And when you see folks like that, you have to understand that, I mean, a significant piece of their life was just ripped away from them unexpectedly too, in a lot of cases. You know, how can you support the people like this? I mean, there are organizations out there. There's, you know, Gold Star Mothers and other organizations like that that are, are out there that you can go and support. You know, but honestly, you know, if you see that Gold Star emblem on like a license plate, or sometimes there's like a bumper sticker or something like that. If you see that, you know, just
acknowledge
those folks. You know, just let them know that you're thinking of them, that you're praying for them and their service member who is no longer around. I mean, you know, it may feel awkward at first, like to approach someone like that, but but if you do it, I'm sure that there's not going to be a single one of them who's going to look at you like you're nuts or anything like that. You know, I've even done it once where I was driving, I came up to a stoplight and I saw it as I was pulling up. Sure. And I just rolled down my window and I said, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. And that was it. You know, it was just a short little simple thing and then drive away, you know. But, you know, hopefully that made that person feel just that much better, you know. So those are the types of little things, you know. We're not expecting you to move mountains or anything for us. You know, that's not, at least in my case, I'm not expecting you know, the world to change for me. But a little bit of appreciation, you know, goes a long way. Recently, this was actually not so recently anymore, but back in 2019, my family and I were invited to the White House for a ceremony around Memorial Day. And it honored just Gold Star families. And it was a very, very well done thing. We all got to go to the White House and the president was there and met with us individually, got our pictures taken with him and the first lady. And it was one of those once in a lifetime experiences, but you think about it, like the reason why is because of this sacrifice and this loss. And, you know, for the president of the United States, and I don't want to get into politics here. I don't care who the president is at the time, but for the president,
no matter what,
for the president to take the amount of time that he took out of his day to spend time with folks like this, that's a pretty significant thing. And, you know, I that kind of appreciation to me just like went a super long way, you know. So,
oh, absolutely. I'm like you. When we serve everyone, irregardless, political, whatever it is, we serve everyone. And that's what another special part about serving in the military is about, you know, that we just, we make that sacrifice. And as you stated, the family makes that sacrifice as well.
That's right. Yes.
Yes. So, Scott, thank you so much for that. We learned a little bit more about Stephen today, and we'll never forget him, of course. And you're a great representative, but you went one step further. You wrote this book, Surviving Son. I'm going to pull that up right now. If you can tell us what the inspiration for writing this book was for you and is for you, and how much has it changed other people who have read it?
Yeah, you know, so I started this book, it started off not even being a book. It started just being me journaling and writing down things that have happened when I was in Afghanistan and my thoughts and feelings and emotions. I didn't want to forget those types of things. I knew there'd be questions down the line for my children. And, you know, I wanted to have what I remembered at that time. And, you know, our minds play tricks on us. And you know, a few years ago, I looked at those notes. I kind of came across them again and said, you know, this really should be a book and not just some random notes and bullet points and that type of thing, you know? So I wanted to make it into a book so that not only my story, because it, you know, comes from my perspective, but also talking about my brother and who he was and, you know, the types of stuff that we talked about today. We talk about that in the book and, you know, I want this to be something that outlives me, outlives him, obviously. But it's a you know, one soldier's perspective of combat, of being deployed to a combat zone and unfortunately losing someone very, very close to him. And it talks a lot about the before. So you get to know who we were as a family and individuals. Talks a lot about the time that we spent in Afghanistan. I go into detail of the day that he was killed, both from my perspective and also from the perspective of the folks who are serving with him. Wow. We go into all those details and, you know, finish off the book with the aftermath. How do you pick up the pieces after all of that? You know, and I did not do a very good job at that. I dealt with a lot of anger issues. I dealt with the PTSD. I dealt with dealt with it in a terrible way. You know, I was drinking too much. I wasn't sleeping enough. I was just doing the stuff that like every psychologist would tell you, don't do that. Sure. That's the stuff I was doing. You know,
well, it's a tough time.
It was, yeah. And you know, it is tough, but you know, honestly, looking back at it, that's no excuse. I should have done better. I thought honestly, like a lot of guys do, hey, I'm tough. I can handle this. It's tough right now, but I'll bounce back. But guess what? I wasn't bouncing back. I was just digging deeper, and it wasn't a bounce. It was really digging a hole, and I had to figure out how to get out of this hole. And so I share a lot of that stuff in that story. And you know, the goal here to share that type of stuff, and I talk about it openly, you know, as I am right now, is to let other people know that, hey, yeah, life gets tough sometimes, but there's help out there. You can talk to folks. You know, there's not that stigma around mental health the way it was, you know, 30, 40 plus years ago, you know, where you go and talk to a psychologist and it's like, oh no, that guy's nuts. Stay away from him. You know, it's not like that, you know, and you go and you make an appointment. And for me, that was the scariest thing, was just picking up the phone and making that phone call to make the appointment. But as soon as I walked in, it was the people there, they just understood that, hey, this is tough. And you know, we'll get through it together. And the way I look at it is like, I had this heavy load that I was carrying and I was having trouble carrying it myself. I just needed someone to help me figure out how to carry it better. And they weren't taking the load and carrying it for me. They're just figuring out, you know, maybe reposition that load and you can carry it a little bit better, you know? And that's what they ended up doing. You know, I really do encourage folks, you know, whether you read the book or not, if you're struggling with something mental health wise or otherwise, go get help, go talk to somebody. It's really, really important to do. And that will help make things a little bit easier for you, you know?
Absolutely. And what we have here on the banner, we also have where people can get the book as well. I have it in this tiny shortened URL here where people can go to Amazon and order the book. And we want you to read the book and contact Scott after doing so, even if you don't make it all the way through the book. But yeah, we want you to go there because he has some wonderful insights. And again, it's one of these things we really, it's just a tough situation, but he's gone through that experience and he wants to help other people. So Scott, when we look at community activities, do you also go into the community sharing some of the stories that you have in different community groups, anything in the local area there in Surprise and beyond?
Yeah, I have. I've done some speaking engagements, you know, in person type things. I've also done virtual type type things where there's been companies who have had a like a veterans group and they were looking for speakers to share their stories, and I've gone there and you know talked to folks all over the country and shared my story with them through those types of groups. But I've been on. Yeah. I've done over 100 interviews.
I thought your media appearances. I was like, wow, go Scott.
I'm all over the place. You know, I've done television, radio, podcasts. I've done, like I said, other, you know, speaking engagements where I'm, you know, kind of just one-on-one. I've, you know, local groups here I've spoken with. And, you know, for those types of things, you know, sometimes it's hard to gauge the audience because you don't know if they're ready to receive that type of thing. But I encourage people to go get the book so that they kind of know what to expect when they're reading that book, you know, or when they're about to hear me talking, they kind of have an idea of what it is that I'm going to share, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do know that you have also additional outreach that we're going to talk about now, because I've been on this great podcast, Drive On with Scott DeLuzio. Let's talk about your podcast, Scott, and give people some more insight. You have some amazing guests on there as well.
Oh my gosh. I'm about to record tomorrow. I'm going to record my 365th episode. And I just realized if you start listening to the podcast and listen one episode every single day, you'll have the whole year. But then there'll be more coming too, and you'll never catch up. So this is going to just be an endless loop here. You'll never be able to catch up, but that's okay. But anyway, so the podcast, it started honestly around the same time that I decided to write the book. But when I went to Afghanistan, the company that I served with, we did not lose a single soldier while we were over there, which is great. However, we started losing folks when we came home to suicide. And, you know, I was struggling with my own issues with my brother. They were struggling with their issues. And I started to realize and kind of become aware of all the issues that were going on in the veteran community, not just the folks that I served with. And I was like, I can't just sit around waiting for another phone call saying another one of my friends was killed or, you know, took their own life. So I was like, I got to do something and I want to reach a ton of people. What's the easiest and cheapest way to do that? I was like, podcast, because nobody has to pay for it to get access to it. If they want to listen to it, great. If they don't, okay, cool. Find something else. But, you know, so I started the podcast with that message of hope to share with folks. If you're struggling like I was, like so many people were, there are resources out there. And I talked to folks who represent nonprofits and other organizations that exist to serve veterans. And I talked to the veterans themselves who have gone through struggles and figured their way out of those struggles. And we talk about what those struggles were and how they got through them and try to provide that encouragement for other people so that they know that they're not alone, that there is a light at the end of that tunnel, that you may feel like you're drowning and you're in quicksand and you're not getting out and you can't make any momentum or progress. You will, you'll get through that eventually. And you can have better days ahead. You know, it may take some work, but you can have that, you know? And so that's kind of the message that we try to share on the show.
Oh, fantastic. I tell you, I really had a great time when you interviewed me, and I know other people have as well. And there's more to come. Like Scott just stated, he has almost a full year of episodes out there that you can listen to, and people can really help themselves by listening to it.
That's right.
Our interview is about to come to a close. If you can provide some inspiration or motivation for people, we know we're starting a new year off. We know that people have New Year's resolutions. If you can provide and inject some inspiration and motivation for them as we're about to depart. Thank you.
You know, I look at the New Year's resolutions and the new year, new me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I look at that as kind of a false start for some folks. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a goal, when you have something that you're trying to accomplish, if you're accomplishing it for the sake of this time of year, well, guess what? A month from now, it's not going to be this time of year anymore. Right. 2 months, 3, 6 months from now, it's going to be the summer. It's not going to be this time of year anymore. So if you're doing something, you're going to the gym or you're going to, you know, do whatever your New Year's resolution is, and you're going to do that because it's this time of the year and this is just what you do at this time of the year. Well, you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. Think to yourself, why is it that you want to do whatever it is that you want to do? You want to go to the gym? Why is that? You want to go get in better shape? Okay, that's your reason. I want to get in better shape. I'm going to keep going to the gym until I get into better shape. And I'm going to eat better, and I'm going to do all the things that I need to do for that, right? If it's your mental health, don't just go to talk to somebody for, you know, 2 weeks just because it happens to be January and then stop going, because 2 weeks probably isn't going to be enough for most mm-hmm. folks, you know?
Exactly.
Whatever it is that you're doing, do it for the reason that is going to benefit you. Don't do it because it's January 1st and all of a sudden now you got to go to the gym. I can't tell you how many more people are in the gym when I go in the mornings.
It is like,
oh my gosh. It's like, where did you people crawl out of? You know, great. You know what? I'm glad that there are people who are going and trying to you know, better themselves. I'm just looking forward to the next, you know, 6 weeks or so when it drops off and goes back to the normal number of people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's just crazy to think about that, you know, but, you know, do things for the reason, whatever that reason is. Maybe you want to be a better father, or you want to be a better mother or a better spouse or better whatever. That's your reason. Okay, cool. Go do that thing to make you be better at whatever it is that you want to be better at. And don't do it just because it's that time of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But Scott, thank you so much for that. You're an outstanding guest. We really honor your service and also what you're doing now. And as we mentioned before, I want all the Wealth Academy podcast listeners, go out and get this book here, Surviving Son. You can get it on Amazon or wherever you can purchase the book at. It will be there. You can also get it autographed. You can go to Scott's website. You'll be able to find it there. And then, of course, we talked earlier about his podcast and Drive On with Scott. And it's something else that you want to consider. But we really honor you, Scott, your family, as a Gold Star family, a Gold Star brother. We really honor you. We salute you and thank you so much. Just as the flags that you have there, we salute all of them. And thank you for your service, my friend.
And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. Wealth Academy podcast viewers and listeners, we thank you so much. Go on here to this particular episode, episode 254, and you'll be able to get this, listen to it, rate and review this episode with Scott. And it won't be the last time that you see him. And of course, I'll be promoting this for you as well, Scott. So thank you very much. Everyone have a great day again and a happy new year. And we wish all of you well. As Scott said, this is all about a lifestyle change based on your mindset. This is not a 2 or 3 week journey. We have an entire year to span. So we want to go out there and change those habits. And remember, habits can change. A new habit can change in 21 days. So give yourself an opportunity to do that. My time is up and I thank you for yours. Again, my name is Paul Lawrence Vann. And again, we want to salute Scott DeLuzio for being just an outstanding American, a hero, author, speaker, and podcaster. It's your beautiful family. Thank you so much, Scott, and have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this episode with Paul and his guest. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and Paul requests that you rate and review this episode and others on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to podcasts. View all Wealth Academy podcast episodes at www.wealthacademypodcast.com.